All right, tonight we're going to be in Genesis chapter 49. This is going to be a little bit different than normal Sunday nights. Normally we go through several verses and talk back over them. Tonight we're going to go through basically just 23 through 24. So let's ask a blessing on God's Word. Father, we thank you so much for all of your words. Sometimes there's things that we just read right over and we don't take time to see how much you have for us in the little nooks and crannies of your word that we just buzz right by. So, Lord, speak to us tonight, I pray, in your name. Amen. We are going to talk in 49. It's the wrap-up of basically Genesis, and Jacob is beginning to, he's on his deathbed, and he is calling in all of his sons, and he's gonna bless them, but he also, in blessing them, he prophesies a little bit about their futures. Sometimes he talks about some of the things that they've done in the past and then blesses them, and others he doesn't have a whole lot to say about. But tonight we're going to look at 22 through 24, and that is Joseph's section of this. And so I'm going to read through all of those verses, and then we'll go back and look at them. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, which is basically a vine, a fruitful bough by a spring. His branches run over the wall. The archers bitterly attack him, shot at him, and harassed him severely. Yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. For there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And there's so much in that passage, and as I read that this week and the last couple weeks, actually, I don't remember whether I heard it or read it two or three weeks ago, and it just kind of began to twist around in my mind to see what there was in there, because it just was something there, and I knew it. And so as I began to think about this, I thought, we want to go over this. And so here he is. He's blessing his son. He's blessing Joseph. And all of his sons are there, and as you know, Jacob was never shy about saying, this is the one I love. And so anyway, here he's showing this blessing, and he's saying in that verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, or it's the idea of a fruitful vine, and the things that come out of Joseph, his sons and the tribe that comes out of them is going to be so fruitful. It's going to be so productive that it's going to be like that vine that's planted by a spring. It's going to always have the nourishment that it needs, and it's not even just going to stay in its tribe. It's going to spring out, and the branches are going to even run over the wall. And you and I need to be really glad that the branches run over the wall, because you and I were outside the wall. I mean, if you really want to look at this and what it's talking about, because inside the vineyard was that idea of the children of Israel. And he was so productive that God blessed those outside the wall. Maybe because those inside the wall had rejected him. But his plan was to bless those on the outside of the wall. And so the branches even ran over the wall to us. And so this is kind of the blessing on him, talking about how he is going to be fruitful and his tribe is going to be fruitful and reach other people. But then he goes back and he begins to talk about his past. And that's what I want us to really focus on this afternoon. It says, the archers bitterly attacked him. Jacob is going back now, and he's talking about the fact that Joseph didn't always have the easiest life. He had been attacked. And we all know that. We can go back and we'll kind of look at a little bit of the story of Joseph, and we're not going to go back into chapter 37 where it's at. But as we look at this, he speaks about archers bitterly attacking him. And if you think about that mindset of archers, if I was going to be in battle, nowadays that's more or less the artillery. We set way back here and we shoot way far away. He's saying that Joseph was attacked from a distance. He was attacked by people that weren't willing to talk to him face to face. They weren't willing to attack. They were like that archer that sets over the hill or sets back in the bushes and sets back away. And they start doing stuff when he's not around. They're launching their arrows when Joseph is not expecting it. Because generally that's what archers would do. They would set back, and as the other army would come, they would be in cover, and they would set back and they would shoot when it wasn't expected. Well, that's in the idea of when Joseph was young, he had the dreams that we know about where God had showed him that his brothers would bow down to him, and he wasn't trying to be cocky. He wasn't trying to be, hey, I'm better than you. He was just sharing with them what God had revealed to him in a dream. And so when he wasn't around, they began to come up with ways that they could get rid of him. You know, first it was murder, and then it was decided, well, let's just throw him in a hole. Then it was decided, hey, let's at least get something out of him, and let's sell him for the price of a slave. And so that's what happened. But it all took place when he wouldn't expect it. It happened from his family. It happened from those attacks that he would not expect that to come from them. And so as he's being attacked by archers, it says here in verse 23, one of those archers was envy. One of the arrows that those archers sent were envy. It says that his brothers hated him. They were so envious of that coat of many colors and the way that their father loved him and the way that he is talking about how God is speaking to him in dreams. But that envy and that jealousy that they had was brought out in a way to attack. And as we talk about that first arrow of envy, I got to thinking this week as I'm going over this and I'm studying and I'm reading it and I'm praying and I think, would that arrow of envy ever be shot at me? Would that arrow of envy ever be shot at you? Because that arrow of envy, and it wasn't because he was cocky, it wasn't because he was bad in any way, it was because he was standing up as who he was supposed to be. God had revealed him. He was supposed to be a good son, and he was loved. And God had revealed to him the dreams, and he was sharing what God had revealed to him to those around him. And so they envied what he had. They envied the position with his dad. They envied the fact that God is speaking to him. And that envy turned them to hatred. And so I wonder how many people out there hate you and me because we stand for what God has called us to be His child, to be His son. Or how many of those people out there are envious of the relationship we have with God? Now, it may not come out as, hey, I wish I had what you had. And it comes out in an anger and a hatred because they see that you are content in your life. They see that you have a relationship with God and they know they don't. And so because of that first attack, that archer that shoots at him is generally, and this is going to sound, you're going to understand, but it's one of those things hard to say. Generally it happens not from non-Christians as much as it happens from Christians. It happened from his brothers. Well, I don't really know if her relationship with God or his relationship with God is really that good. Can it really be that good? Can they? He's always bubbly. She's always on fire for God, and I just don't think it's real. And those envious attacks generally come from our brothers and sisters. And how sad is that? And it wasn't that Jacob didn't love his other children, but they felt that God's speaking to him, and he's got this code, and he's got all. And that's not right. and that envy turned to hatred. And so that first arrow, that first attack that he says that the archers shot at him bitterly, they bitterly attacked him. That's talking about his brothers. That's talking about people that don't like you, that don't like me, because they envy what you have. And so that's why I ask myself the question, is there anybody out there that sees what I have and notices, man, I wish I had that. I wish I had that relationship. I wish I had God speaking to me in dreams. I wish I had such a relationship with the Father that they have blessings that He has. Do people see your relationship that way? Do they envy your relationship? Now, if they take it to hatred, that's their fault. That's their problem. But we should have that relationship with the Father, and we should have that communication with Him so that people see what we have and they desire it, or they at least notice it. And so it comes down to that first arrow. I wonder if it shot at us very much. The next arrow that I think Joseph deals with is that arrow that was shot at him with, that was temptation. And Potiphar's wife, he had to be around her all the time, and Potiphar's wife is tempting him daily, trying to get him to go to bed with her and do something that he knows is wrong. He's being tempted daily. And so this arrow is being shot at him in a situation where he has no way to get out of that situation. He is placed there. He can't just go somewhere else. And I think, you know, if I'm in a position at a job, I can't just get out of the job. I'm going to be around people in situations that cause me to be not necessarily fall to temptation, because that's all on me, but to be tempted, and I can't leave that situation. He was in the house. He was working there, and he couldn't leave that, but the temptation was constantly there. And people in the workplace or on the ball team or wherever you're at, and you just can't get out of it, because that's where God placed you. That's the place that you're the light, you're the witness. We understand that temptation is generally done because they want you to come down to their level. They want you to fall. They want you to be tempted for my benefit. Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph for her benefit. It had nothing to do with him. She just wanted the benefit of being with him. And so you and I have to understand that arrow that's going to be shot at us constantly is temptation. And a lot of times that when we're walking as the army of God, and we're walking where we're supposed to walk, archers are going to shoot, and it doesn't necessarily mean, what do we do? Do we sit here and fight, or do we turn and run? And this is one of the places I love in the Bible where God just says, sometimes you just need to run. You just need to get out. And if you understand that, yeah, he was there and he stayed as long as he possibly could, but when he realized it's time to run from temptation because I can't handle it, I need to run. And that's what he did. And so we know that as we look at the temptation, he did what was right and he turned and he ran. You and I are going to be tempted constantly. And what we have to make sure we do is that if we feel like that our relationship with God, if we feel like there's something there and I'm weakening, run. Get out of the situation. There's no shame in that. And so that second arrow of temptation was there. Another arrow that's hard to deal with Joseph, was that arrow of slander. And when he was doing what he was supposed to with his brothers, he was standing up and he was being the son he was supposed to be, and he was in the relationship with God, he was communicating with God, and that got hatred. And then when he stood up for God and he didn't do the things that she wanted him to do, he was standing right for God, he was walking right with God, and he ended up having to turn and run. He did not do anything wrong in any of these situations. So what happens? She makes up lies about him, and that is going to happen. If you stand for God and you don't falter and you walk the way God desires you to walk, there are going to be people that if they can't get you to fall, they're going to make up whatever they can for other people to believe. And I don't think there's anything that's more painful than when you are standing and doing what you know God told you to do and somebody's making up lies about you and other people are believing those lies. That's tough. And that's what happens with this third arrow. That arrow that Potiphar's wife, when she lied about him, and Potiphar believed him, and so he's thrown into prison. But I read a quote a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it's a quote, but it was in the article that I was reading. It said, the ripest fruit is the one that the bird pecks at. Let that sink in for just a minute. The ripest fruit is the one that the bird pecks at. The Christian that is walking the way God wants him to is the one that Satan's going to attack. If I'm not walking the way Satan wants me to, if I'm that old bruised fruit, he knows nobody wants that. But if I am that person that is like that apple that we saw on the internet, I got to see pictures of Gabe's article thing. And if I am that beautiful apple, then man, that's the one that animal is going to peck at, or that animal is going to try to eat. That's the one Satan doesn't want there. He wants to destroy that perfect fruit for God. And so, as we look at the slanderous statements that happened to Joseph, he was still able to get out of the situation. So the archers that attacked Joseph, think about those three arrows that they shot for just a second. He had that first arrow that he dealt with, envy. You're going to deal with that. Jesus dealt with that. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they saw all these people following Jesus. All these people that had been following them, they're now turning and they're following Jesus. And so they were envious, and they began to hate him because he was doing what was right. And then the temptation come to Joseph, that second arrow. Well, we all know the temptation of Jesus when he's in the wilderness, that Satan tempted him and attacked him, and he constantly stood up and he spoke back with the word of God. He was where he was supposed to be. There are times that you and I end up in situations where we shouldn't be, places we know we shouldn't be, and because of that, the temptation is there. But there are times, like Joseph, where he was supposed to be in that situation. Like Jesus, he was supposed to be in that situation in the wilderness. There are times when God has us where he wants us, and you're going to face temptation, and the purpose is for you to grow to be more like Jesus Christ. And so you and I are going to face that temptation. Jesus faced it. Joseph faced it. And then that last one, that slander, Joseph faced it. Jesus, he's got a demon. He's claiming to be the Son of God. And when they couldn't find anything wrong, they started making things up about him, claiming he had a demon, claiming he was drunk, claiming all he was a son of the devil. All these things, they're going to make up lies about anything that convicts them, that shows the error of their ways. And so as we look at the archers that attacked, bitterly attacked Joseph, they shot at him and harassed him severely. It's going to happen to us. But now let's look at verse 24. There is so much in 24. It says, yet his bow remained unmoved. His bow, even though he could have fought back, he had been trained He carried a bow. There's a reason. If I've never shot a bow, I'm not going to carry one. He is carrying a bow. He has a way of protecting himself. He has a way. Joseph has a way to protect himself. But what this is really saying, what Jacob is saying is, he didn't fight back. There's another story where he was led like a sheep before his shearers. He was silent. He didn't fight back. He didn't speak up. Because the purpose was to glorify God. His bow remained silent. There are times, I know there are times in my life, when somebody attacks me with envy or slander, that, man, I want to pop off something right back at them. That's just the way, I'm being honest with you, that's just the way it is. And I know there are times when God says, keep your mouth shut. Doesn't always happen, but that's what God is saying. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to keep silent. That's what he told Moses. And so many times he tells us that, Steve, they're attacking me. They're not really attacking you. You're not doing anything wrong. Just stay silent and let me fight for you. His bow remained silent. It remained unmoved. Another translation, I think it says, its abode remained. It was there. He did not fight back. And you think in those three times, Joseph didn't fight back. He didn't fight his brothers. He didn't fight. He just turned and ran. And when they lied about him, he went to prison and he was there and he glorified God in the situation. His bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty God. Think about what this statement is really saying. He had this bow that was his weapon to fight. And he chose not to, but that didn't mean he couldn't. His arms were made agile. In other words, they were ready to fight. They were trained to fight. And he was trained with the power by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. In other words, God was his strength. When it come time to fight, he would have that strength. He would be prepared. It kind of reads in the analogy of where it says, his arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. It has the idea of when a young boy is trying to learn how to shoot a bow and arrow, when the father stands behind him and wraps around and helps him show how to pull that bow back. That's what it's talking about. God has given you the power and the strength and the ability, and when it's time to fight back, he will show you. If they're going to attack me, then God says just be still. But there's times that we take in this and we understand the only way we'll ever know that we can take and leave our bow silent in those times is to know that the strength that we have, that the training that we have comes by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. If my strength depends on me, I'm going to try to prove it. When somebody says something against me, when somebody does something to me, I've got to prove my strength. And so I'm going to step up and I'm going to say something. I'm going to do something because I am not sure of my strength, and so I've got to prove it. Joseph did not need to prove his strength. He knew his strength was in the Lord. He knew his power was from the mighty one of Jacob. And when you know that, you don't have to prove it. You just stand on it. You just rely on it. Because that is where your strength. But until I know That's where my strength comes from. I will always try to prove the strength if it's mine. And so he says, the archers bitterly attacked him. They shot at him and harassed him severely. Yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. And then this is in parentheses in mine. I'm not sure how it is in yours, but it says, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So Jacob is talking about this is the prophecy. This is the understanding that Joseph had came through all these things. He had been attacked. He had stood. He had been what he was supposed to be. He had the strength of God in him. And from him, from his tribe, was going to come the shepherd. The stone of Israel. He did these things that were exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was attacked. Jesus was envied. He was tempted. He was slandered the same way Joseph was. From Joseph came the shepherd, which was Jesus. The stone that the builders rejected was Jesus. We see how Joseph fits into this. It's a blessing and a prophecy about him. We see how it parallels Jesus, and it talks about Jesus coming from him. We know that we are going to be attacked by these same three things. We know that there are times when God is going to be our strength, and we realize that he is our strength. So how does this last little part fit in for us? Because it's a prophecy of Christ coming from Joseph. From him is the shepherd. From you, the shepherd is presented to the world. We know that the shepherd, we know Christ came through Joseph. But for you and I, Christ needs to come through us. Not in the same sense, but when I go to work or when I drive a bus, then Christ needs to be presented through me. The good shepherd needs to be presented through me. The Holy One of Israel, the Stone of Israel, needs to be presented through me. You are going to be attacked in the same way Joseph did. You have the same strength that Joseph did. And the Christ needs to be presented to the world through you. That's what he calls us to do. So know the battle is coming. Know that sometimes the archers are way far away and you'll never see them. It's just before you know it, it hits you. Other times, the saddest statement is, sometimes it comes from our brothers. But understand that our power that gives us the opportunity to give glory to God by saying, be silent, let the Lord fight for you, let your bow remain, because you know that your power comes from him, and let him fight for you. That's what he calls us to do. And as we do that, we present the gospel to the world through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we just thank you for and so much that we can see between Joseph and Jesus and how they line up. And Lord, we can also see those things that we talked about tonight. Lord, teach us to rely on you in every situation. God, I thank you so much for being that strength. Forgive me when I don't keep my mouth shut. But Lord, show me when I need to run. Show me when I need to stand on your strength. Lord, help me to honor and glorify you. In your name I pray. Amen.